Blog Talk Radio.
I know you know who that is, and thank you for being here this evening. It's very hard for me to stop the music of a great like Ella Fitzgerald, but we do want to move forward with the program. That is Perdido, and you can probably get it online. I actually got it off of a CD from the library. So thank you so much for being with us this evening. This is Yat Elohim, and we are having a wonderful program again this evening. This is the new expanded format. I just couldn't do a 30-minute format. There were certain technical challenges as well as the length of time was just too limiting. So we're starting 30 minutes early, and we're going to have Dr. Jatta come in at 6:25 and proceed with our regular program with Dr. Jatta through to the end. But as always, within the precepts and concepts of Community Love Power Show and Dimensional Healing, the Dimensional Healing family, we have so much that we want to share. So certain things that we did in the Dimensional Healing platform, we're going to bring it back because they were successful, they were helpful, and they were powerful. So first and foremost, we're bringing back the hot topics starting this evening. And we've got two interesting topics that we're going to bring up in just a moment because we want to get everything done before we have our co-host, Dr. Jatta, come in. So we know that one of the biggest focus that we have always had is the seeds. We are a seed advocate, a seed saver. We are seed activists. We encourage you to align with people who have seeds and to be able to grow foods. Now, agricultural seeds are only one aspect, and that's what we're basically talking about, agricultural crops. There's a whole other aspect to seeds, which is wild seed. We're not going to so much talk about it, but we do want us to realize that in the information that we're about to present, this is all about agriculture, okay? If you look out your window, the average person in a subtropical, tropical area, and even in the temperate zone during certain times of the year, including now autumn, you're going to see a combination of agriculture and wild seed. So this information that we're about to present is just about the agriculture. This is Carrie Fowler. In our webinar about the seeds, our sustainable seeds webinar that was presented as part of the Black Sustainability Summit and beyond, we talked about the Svalbard Seed Bank in Norway. We asked certain critical questions about the seed bank. We looked at who controls it, who sits on the board, and who's the board of directors, and who owns it, and who has dominion over it or administrative responsibility, et cetera. So we want to get our webinar and get all that information because it gives you all you need to know about being proactive in dealing with your food supply. Food supply of your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. At to minimum three generations, we have to be thinking. And, of course, we really want to be planning much further than three generations ahead. But most of us have three generations. If we're grandparents or we're parents or even as children, we know our parents and our grandparents, most of us. Or if we're grandparents, we know our children and our grandchildren and so on. So we could at least minimum plan for those who are living. But the more proactive and powerful sovereignty is to be able to prepare for unborn generations through planning. So this is Carrie Fowler. He is the CEO of the company that operates the Svalbard Seed Bank. And he has a great argument for how important it is to be able to save agricultural seed, if I can find it. Clip. Oh, yes. And so we're going to listen to him for a few minutes. I'm not going to play the entire clip, I don't think. But this is the argument, and this is an opportunity for critical thinking. Listen carefully to what Mr. Fowler is saying and what is the underlying message in what he's saying. When we come, once we play the clip, we're going to come back and talk about it just for a minute, but not too long because we have our co-host coming in just a few minutes. Carrie Fowler.
Today I want to talk with you about crop diversity. Now, before any of you run to the exits and try to escape. Let me tell you that crop diversity is something we all know about, and it's something that's really important for every one of us on Earth, and of course for future generations. Very few people understand that there are hundreds of thousands of different kinds of rice, for example, or wheat, just as distinct as a beagle from a Great Dane. Only with rice, there are 300,000 or 400,000 different kinds, and with dogs, there are only about 400 kinds. Why is this diversity important? Well, it contains all of the options for the future development of agriculture. And as we know, because we're reading the newspapers every day about rising food costs and the possibility of famine in many parts of the world, agriculture needs to improve and to develop in ways that produce enough food for everyone on Earth. How does agriculture do that? How does agriculture meet the challenges posed by climate change, by water constraints, by energy shortages and high energy prices? How does it meet just the day-to-day challenges that it faces from pests and diseases and the like? Well, it does that by tapping into this vast amount of diversity, the 300,000 or 400,000 different rice varieties, to fashion new varieties of crops that are climate ready and that can produce high yields even with little water and perhaps little fertilizer and other inputs. So this is why it's important to conserve this diversity. It's the most important natural resource on Earth, at least for human beings, and yet it's endangered. We're losing this crop diversity on a daily basis, and losing is sort of an antiseptic way of saying it's becoming extinct. And as distinct crop varieties are lost, as they become extinct, then we lose any options, any unique genes that code for unique characteristics, disease resistance, pest resistance, drought tolerance, for example. So we need to be conserving this diversity if we value the future of agriculture or even human life on Earth. Well, fortunately, it's reasonably easy to save a lot of this diversity. It's found in the form of seeds. And if we dry the seeds to the proper moisture content, we reduce the biological activity in them, and then we freeze them. And in this kind of state, many of the seeds can last for hundreds, indeed thousands of years, remain viable, can be taken out and grown and used in plant breeding programs or by farmers. So in other words, we have a huge global problem, but we have, in fact, a solution for that problem. And the solution doesn't involve technology that still has to be invented. It involves technology that you and I have in our kitchen. It's called a freezer. We have a number of seed banks around the world. Those of us in the field call them gene banks. That's just a technical term for big freezers. And there are many of them, hundreds of them, in fact, around the world, where we're storing different samples, different varieties of our agricultural crops for use in plant breeding programs for the future. But the problem there is that many of these seed banks are located in fairly dangerous parts of the world. You could ask yourself, well, what's not a dangerous part of the world these days? There are cyclones and other natural disasters. There are equipment failures and mismanagement. Virtually every seed bank in the world suffers from financial constraints. There are wars, there's civil strife. So in the past years, we've actually lost large collections, lost as in they're extinct, gone, we'll never see them again, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, because of the wars there, in the Solomon Islands. The Philippines seed bank was affected by a natural disaster 2 years ago. This type of danger is something that we're facing all the time. And when we began to look at that situation, taking into mind also 9/11, and for those of us who were involved in this, the hurricane and that swept through New Orleans a couple of years ago, we began to realize, well, gosh, you know, we've got this incredibly important and valuable natural resource. What are we doing to really, really ensure that it's safe and can be protected and will be with us for future generations, at least as long as we think that agriculture is going to be necessary? So we began to formulate an insurance policy, a plan B, if you will. And a number of us got together and started to design essentially a seed vault, a backup plan, a fail-safe plan to conserve a copy in the form of seeds of all the unique crop diversity in the world. We wanted to put that facility in a place, and we wanted to design it in such a way that it could really operate by itself with little human intervention, because the more human intervention, the more things that can go wrong, frankly. So we began working with the Norwegian government, designing a facility in Svalbard. Now, if you get out your map or your globe, just go to the top, to the North Pole, and work your way down just a little bit towards northern Norway, and you'll see a group of islands called Svalbard. They're at 78 degrees north. It's pretty cold up there. If you're going to journey to this location on Earth, what you'll do is you'll go to northern Norway, to a town called Tromsø. You'll already be about 300 miles above the Arctic Circle, and then you'll get on a jet plane and you'll fly another hour and a half north. That's pretty far north. This is an area where you can find polar bears. So it's naturally cold there. And we designed a facility which is essentially a tunnel built straight into a mountain. It goes into the mountain about 130 meters. We calculated the distance so it goes in at the it stops at sort of the coldest part of the mountain, which is in permafrost conditions. In other words, at the end of this tunnel, you naturally get a fairly constant temperature of about -4 Celsius. And there we built three seed vault rooms. These are our rooms that are about 30 meters long and about 10 meters wide and about 5 or 6 meters tall. They're behind airlock doors. There are a number of various kinds of security and protective measures in force. But the main idea is to put something far away from human beings, if you will, and also in a very cold location. So the seeds can be put, each seed sample can be put in this facility in a naturally frozen area. Each one of the rooms is large enough to house about 1.5 million samples. And by the way, that's about as many as we think exist in the world. In other words, we think there are about 1.5 million distinct samples or varieties, if you will, of the different crops that can be stored as seed. So there's a lot of redundancy in this facility. We've built a facility that's three times as big as we think it really needs to be. On opening day, we moved about almost a quarter of a million distinct varieties into the facility. Now, the media calls this a doomsday vault. And I suppose, yes, if an asteroid were to hit Earth or we were to have a huge nuclear war on Earth, this would provide some protection. No guarantees, mind you, those don't exist in this lifetime. But it might provide some protection. But that's not really the reason that we constructed the facility. We constructed it because we're losing diversity every day in normal seed bank collections around the world. In other words, every day is doomsday for particular crop varieties. Every day we're experiencing extinction. What the Svalbard Global Seed Vault will do is to provide an insurance policy against that. So here's how it's going to work. Seed banks around the world, for instance, the National Seed Bank in the United States in Fort Collins, Colorado, which just celebrated its 50th anniversary, would be shipping seeds to Svalbard near the North Pole. And those seeds would be in boxes. Typically, you'd have 400 or 500 samples of seeds packed in aluminum foil packages in each box. And those boxes would simply be moved into the seed vault inside the mountain. There they can be kept for many, many years, even in some cases thousands of years, before the seeds would lose their viability. So if a normal seed bank, which has deposited seeds in the seed vault, somehow loses their own seed samples, we can then send them back the copy that they had deposited in Svalbard. So in other words, it's going to operate very much like a safety deposit box at the bank. Norway, and in conjunction with the Global Crop Diversity Trust, where I work, will be operating this seed vault free of charge for the storage of seed samples. And if they're ever needed, we will ship it back to the rightful owners. This is not going to be a facility where scientists and researchers are walking in and out every day, but it will function in times of loss. That's the idea. And we have put aside an endowment which will enable us to operate this facility in perpetuity. In short, what we believe we've done is that we've assembled essentially the nations of the world in a giant cooperative activity to do something incredibly positive, incredibly long-lasting. I can't think of anything that's been done in my lifetime that rivals this in those ways. The resources up there are going to help us meet the challenges of the future, from climate change to energy and water constraints. So we hope that you'll take a close look at it, perhaps be inspired, find it hopeful. If you want to know more about it, visit our website at www.croptrust.org. And thank you for your time today. Sorry I couldn't be with you.
Well, there we have it. That's Corey Fowler. He is the ED of the Crop Trust, Global Crop Trust, Global Crop Diversity Trust, that administers the Svalbard Seed Bank. We talked a lot about the Svalbard Seed Bank in our webinar, as we said earlier, so we're not going to belabor it now. But basically, it's for critical thinking. So there's certain things that he said that that may require a little bit more examination. He talked about being having access to basically the DNA of these seeds. So who is actually controlling that? So we looked at that in the webinar. You want to check the webinar and see that there are certain corporate interests that have interests all around the world, and they always pop up, you know, in certain ways. So you want to check out our webinar about the seeds and sustainable seeds to see who actually profits, just like when we were talking about Zika and how the Zika scenario, as they come forth with solutions to look at who profits, there's profit involved with the Global Seed Bank. There, it's more of the control of the DNA. It's not so much of a buy and sell kind of scenario. It's like with the Zika. It is the control of the DNA of the crops of the planet. So as we said earlier, we are not having a conversation about the wild seed, the diverse seed that exists in nature that is not crops or not recognized as crops, but those seeds that are considered crops to have complete control over and have access to the DNA of an enormous amount or all of the food on the planet, all the food seeds on the planet. So that's very, very powerful. So we want to consider what is the ultimate goal and who actually is in control. He gave a very nice speech. That's why I wanted you to hear it. It's so engaging. He's a soft-spoken, gentle kind of energy, just like the CEO of Monsanto, these guys, and also Hayden, who is the CEO of Oxitec. These are very soft-spoken, non-aggressive type people that are in a very soft way telling you the demise of the biosphere that we have known and lived in all of our lives ever since the creation of humanity on the planet. And so, you know, this is something to consider. I'm not going to bother with the second hot topic because I think that's enough. I'll bring it in on Wednesday, if anything, because it's time for us to open the line for our co-hosts. Let's do that. Welcome, Dr. Jata, to the program this evening.
Greetings, greetings.
Oh, thank you for being here. I'm so glad that you're able to make it. Well, I don't know how much you actually heard of what we were talking about. It kind of sort of is the next level beyond the Zika conversation we were having a couple of weeks ago. But this more has to do with the Svalbard Seed Bank, which is actually just one of my favorite topics. So when I encountered this information about it, I thought I would share it as our hot topic for this evening. And basically, it was the somewhat succinct explanation by Corey Fowler, who is the ED of the Global Crop Diversity Trust, who administers the Svalbard Seed Bank. And we were doing a critical analysis of some of the things that he was saying, because it sounds so benign in the way that it's being put forth. But, you know, one thing that he did not say or allude to, he talked about the diminishment of the diversity, and there's other information out there. He's got a book out, by the way, and it's called Seeds on Ice. And it is available through the normal channels. One of the things that he talked about in other presentations that I saw was there's like 100,000 different types of rice. But when you go into the typical store, even, you know, an international market, how many different types of rice do we see? Do we see even 50?
No, not that much.
So, you know, he's saying there's 100,000 different types of rice and something like 400,000 different types of beans. When you go and look at beans, even when you go to the international store, you might see 50 different types of beans if it's a really well-sourced store. So number one question is, where's the rest of it? And number two is, why is the diversity diminishing so rapidly that they have to now conserve the DNA of all these foods that we don't have access to now anyway?
That's a good point.
You know. So, you know, we need to think critically when we hear these things, because they're going to be presented in a certain kind of way. We've just got to look at it and decipher what are these people actually saying, because, you know, they do have the agendas that they put forth, and then they have the agendas that they don't tell us about. So that's our hot topic for this evening, and we're going to switch our focus. Let's go ahead and do our promo, and then when we come back from the promo, we will be going into the topic right at the bottom of the hour, which is the what's our tongue telling us. All right, so back in 2.5 minutes, and then we'll be ready to launch into our topic.
Greetings. This is Dr. Jata.
And this is Yah Elohim. And we are the People's Clinic, home of On Point Acupuncture. Remember, we're the accessible practitioners, available to you via phone, text, email, and social media. Reach out to us, and we will call you back within 24 hours or less. We are so excited about our upcoming Living Foods certification class from October 8th through October 29th of this year. Learn the secrets of coaxing greater nutrition and turning your foods into nutrition powerhouses. Classes include sprouting and juicing on October 8th. October 15th is the classical, ancient, and modern theories of food. On the 22nd of October, we are presenting fermenting and dehydrating, and we are sealing it up with tonic soups, herbs, smoothies, and other delights on October 29th.
We have a lot of hands-on therapy, also an extensive question and answer period after each class, and from this you will gain confidence and self-empowerment.
And all of those who complete the class will receive certification in living foods preparation. That's Saturday, October 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th at 10 a.m. For more information, check out our website, The People's Clinic for TOM.com. That's The People's Clinic, the number 4, T like in Tom, O like an Oscar, M like Mary.com. Email us at the People's Clinic for TOM at gmail.com. Facebook, the People's Clinic for TOM. And to reach Dr. directly, dial 786-222-9526 regarding therapies and to schedule an immediate appointment. For all questions concerning registration, location, payment, and anything else, dial Yah Elohim, 561-855-0593. Join us. It won't be the same without wonderful you. See you there. Okay, so we've got that coming up, and you want to go to the website, which has been more work has been done, so most of the events that we're doing are there. You can also schedule yourself into an appointment right in the calendar, so you can look at the calendar and see what's available and what's not available and schedule yourself right in. There's other great information on the website, and we've got some other things we're launching. Green Wednesday, which I don't think we're going to get enough time to talk about it, but it's on the website. And then we also have the Community Liver Cleanse and Juicing Collective, which is also on the website. And just go to our site, which is the People's Clinic, 4TOM.com. That's the People's Clinic, the number 4, T like Tom, O like Oscar, M like Mary.com. And it would be / Love Shop and Events page. So go check it out. We've got so many things going on. We're not able to share them all with you via the this blog program. So now, Dr. Jata, how are you this evening?
I couldn't be better. Thank you for asking.
Good. I'm so glad. What we wanted to tap into this evening is the tongue analysis. So I know it's easy to go online and Google tongue analysis and get a chart of a tongue, and then you get a diagram of, you know, whatever. And you can go to our show page and see lots of different tongue diagnoses as well as tongue pathologies, which I actually want to bring up in a moment, and another question about tongue too. So, you know, but if you go to our show page, you'll see various tongues and various the state of wellness and disease to give us an idea of the variation that can exist within the tongue. So I guess we need to start very basically, we can see the premise of the charts that you can easily see either on our show page or on the marketing flyer or online. With you see the diagrams of the different parts of the tongue that the organs correspond to. So give us a synopsis of why that works. Is it a nerve thing like reflexology, or why is that so, and how long has that been used in traditional Oriental medicine?
Tongue diagnosis has been around, I think for since 2020 BC. It became a significant part of traditional Chinese medicine diagnostic technique. Many, many physicians have contributed towards the development of it, as many physicians contributed to the development of the pharmacopoeia on herbs. And it became a very viable tool, which it's amazing that anatomy, for instance, if you look at anatomy, when you learn anatomy of yourself, you carry around your library with you. you know, you carry around the bones, you carry around the tendons, you carry around the muscles. Similarly, the tongue, we carry around a wealth of information about ourselves in the tongue, as well as the facial expressions and so forth. So it's once somebody gets a basic handle or basic knowledge of the tongue, the shape of the tongue, the color of the tongue, the parts of the division of the tongue, the topography of the tongue, what to look for, they themselves could be in a better position to see things that may be coming up in the future for themselves or things that may be waning. The tongue diagnosis is about 98% correct. It doesn't really lie because it really reflects the internal condition of the body. It's something that everybody should learn, similarly like cooking 101 or living foods 101. It gives us, again, self-awareness, know thyself. And I'd highly recommend that everybody should get some idea of what they look at every time they clean their teeth.
Oh, right. In other words, you're in the mirror there, seeing the tongue and the teeth, and there's a message there for us. And it's about being able to receive or note that message. The same would be true, I imagine, for the sclera when we're in the mirror, and also the face, which we're going to talk about on an upcoming program. So then, how does that work? Is it because the tongue is an extension of the digestive system in such a manner of speaking? It's connected through to the esophagus, et cetera, which goes down all the way through, you know, basically to the anus, the rectum. So is that the reason that the tongue reflects the various organs of the body, especially those organs?
Yes, just like anything else in the body or in creation, we're all interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is isolated. We're all connected. It's for us to be able to read the connectivity of ourselves. The tongue, again, is just one of those things. It's connected to the meridians of the body, which we deal with, all run through the tongue. It all runs through the ear. That's why auricular therapy is so excellent to treat every part of the body. Reflexology also, the feet. Everything is connected by meridians, by blood vessels, by the venous, the vein system, by the arterial system. Everything has to be nourished and fed and detoxed in the body. So any reasonable person could see the connectivity of the tongue. If we could read the ears, it would be the same thing, or the eyes, or the hair.
So what you're saying is that there's a multitude of signs that the body provides to give us an insight into the internal state. So if we learn these arts and sciences, we can use it in our daily activity in terms of making the choices that we need to make for our optimum well-being. So
that's correct.
Talk about then some of the pathologies that arise in the tongue, and you know, what can you see, for example? What is it that you encounter? Because I know in your practice, one of the standard things that you do is ask the person, the potential client, to take a picture of their tongue with specific instructions of how to do that. So what do you encounter in that process of looking at the tongues of various individuals? Is there a trend or something that you can see that, since we are all connected, that would be helpful for us to be aware of?
I think the most significant trend would be the parts of the tongue that corresponds to the liver or the cardiovascular part of the tongue, which is the bottom of the palate of the tongue. If you would put the tip of the tongue up to the tip of the teeth,
mm-hmm.
that would give us an idea as to the arterial condition of the person there, the arteries.
Mm.
The side of the tongue corresponds to the liver, and most people that I look at, even including myself, sometimes I see that there is some liver disharmony within the individual, because again, the liver detoxes, you know, 60,000 functions I hear that the liver does for us. We live in a very toxic environment. We think toxically. Everything around us is, you know, geared towards needing a medium to detox and purify ourselves the way we live. So most people I see, there is some type of liver disharmony, or the functions of the liver could be improved, or it's overburdened by what it has to do. So those are the two glaring things. Digestive issues also of the proper digestion of food is problematic in most tongues that I see. Usually the tongue is coated in a way that it shouldn't be. There could be swelling in certain areas that may correspond to the spleen, pancreas. Many things you see that's quite common nowadays in our lifestyle.
Well, that's, you know, that's fascinating to know, because what happens then when there are actual pathologies in the tongue? Does that indicate an extreme condition within, like a pimple or a blister or an abscess? And thank you for those of you who are in the chat room. I really appreciate your presence. Feel free to ask a question, or you can dial in too at 516-387-1741. I'll be checking the chat frequently to see if there are any continued questions. So what happens when there's an actual pathology on the tongue itself, a blister and a boil and abscess, a sore? Is that indicating that that organ where that particular blister is in an acute state of stress or toxicity?
Yes, it could indicate that. Blisters would indicate some type of acute situation. Sores now will be a different matter. That would be more of a chronic situation. The topography of the tongue is very, very important for us to really get an idea as to the time frame of the disharmony, and also the time frame to actually correct the disharmony. So if there is a sore, an open sore there, you know that it's a deeper issue and that will require more time and effort to heal. Blisters and pimples and so forth are more should be easier to correct with nutrition and energy medicine, acupuncture, exercise therapy, detoxing, et cetera, et cetera. So once, it's just like the earth. We have to know, we become like geologists in a way to understand the earth and its topography. Cracks in the tongue would also, if you imagine the earth being lacking in water in certain places, cracks would appear. So if the cracks appear in, let's say, the kidney area, we know that there a serious water issue is going on in the body. If, for instance, the shape of the crack could give us an indication if it's elongated or horizontal in certain ways, give us another indication as to what's going on. The depth of the cracks or the height of the pimples. So it's a fascinating study that I think everybody should have in their bathroom, a little chart of a normal tongue, which would be a tongue that's not swollen, with a pale to red color tongue. We have to understand the standard. Then we could see where we are on a, let's say, a week-to-week basis. We could take pictures and see if we're detoxing, how the tongue changes, if we change our menu, how the tongue changes. The tongue would take a little while to change in certain ways. So because it would take a while for certain things to occur. But having some degree of knowledge of that will really help the individual and the family and give us, again, it's all about self-awareness. You should have some body of knowledge of yourself. When you go to see a physician, you should have some idea of yourself. And these programs we have are excellent to bring people up to speed in knowing yourself.
Yes, these, you know, we've got some great resources here, and you'll be able to link through them via our website, pretty much. So if you don't catch it live, you can also catch the archive by going to the show page, blogtalkradio.com/dimensional-healing. This program is sponsored by Dimensional Healing. We've got a couple of questions that came through. First is Claude. We'll start with Claude's question because it kind of alluded to what you were saying, cracks in the tongue. So, and we encourage you to call us because this is very general information. We haven't seen you. We haven't seen your tongue, whatever. You know, this is kind of anecdotal. This is not diagnosis because we haven't seen you. So this is kind of like based on years of experience of seeing trends, of making connections through personal experience. But in order to get the best information, you really want to connect with us. You can call Dr. Jata directly at 786-222-9526. Or you can email him directly at jatamala1@gmail.com. Go to our website, the People's Clinic 4TOM.com. That's the People's Clinic, the number 4, T like Tom, M like Mary.com, and go to the Contact Us page and send us an email. We'll definitely get back in touch. You can also dial me, Ya Elohim, 561-855-0593, and you can email the People's Clinic 4TOM@gmail.com. And we can get you connected directly with Dr. Jata, or you can come to one of our events, the upcoming Living Food Certification class will provide great insight into some of the things that we can do to cleanse, detoxify, and heal the body, and we'll touch a little bit on the tongue. We also have a tongue analysis website coming up. So if you want to join our mailing list, if you're not on it already, you can do that, and we can give you the information to register for the webinar, which from when that is complete, you'll have no further questions about the art and science of tongue analysis. Is very thorough. So Claude's question is about a dry tongue. He is not cracked, but his tongue is always dry. He said he drinks 4 to 6 liters of water, of good quality water, spring water, or filtered water per day. But his tongue, no matter what, is still always dry. Is there something anecdotally you could share with with Claude, or does he need to call you directly?
Well, again, a lot of people that I speak to, and I was of this persuasion years ago that I was drinking good water. That's another extensive topic we should cover, because although we think that we're drinking water, a lot of the liquid that we drink is not really being absorbed by the body. So we may think that we're hydrating, but sometimes we're not really hydrating. You know, the ability to hydrate the body, the liquids, the molecules of the water has to be arranged in a particular structure. 5 or 6 molecules of H2O in a cluster. You don't really get that from regular water that we purchase. The structure is totally different, so it doesn't really penetrate the cell membrane and hydrate the cell. So we'd have to see if the Claude is drinking proper water so that he is hydrated. There could be other things going on in the body, assuming that he is drinking proper water and his tongue feels dry. There could be different situations in the body that would cause the body to have dryness, infections, disharmonies with the liver would cause heat in the body, which make the body feel dry. So there, we have to have a look also at the color of the tongue to find out the condition of the heat, if there is heat in the body. If the tongue is yellow looking from the coating, that's another type of heat or dryness. If the tongue is red, it would also indicate something else of a drying nature. So it's difficult really to answer the question for Claude without having more information about what's going on.
So Claude, you want to contact us at your convenience. You can dial Dr. Jata directly at 786-222-9526. You can call me, Yah Elohim, 561-855-0593. You can go to our website, thepeoplesclinic4tom.com, and schedule yourself in. There's a place to click in to schedule yourself an appointment, and you can do that quickly and easily according to your schedule, and we'll get back to you with what it is that we need. Just put your name in, of course, your email information, and a phone number, and someone will get in touch with you. So I got competing things happening here. Please hold on, Miriam. Miriam has a question, but I really want to make sure. Maybe we'll go with Miriam's question first, because you just spoke of color. And Miriam is saying that her tongue is dark purple, and it's not anything, you know, it's not like she's eating anything that's turning it that color. So, again, I would encourage Miriam to call in, but is there anything anecdotally that you can say to her about a deep purple tongue that's not coming from, like, you know, food dye?
That's usually an indication of some type of blood stasis in the body, which means the blood is not flowing as it should be. It could be congealing. It could happen after trauma, where somebody would lose a lot of blood when the tongue becomes that way, or it could be the digestive system is not performing properly to make enough blood. It could be that there is, imagine a river that's not flowing properly. The river would congeal or form lakes or eddies on the earth, so this could cause situations like stagnant blood or some type of tumor. Again, these are all some of the possibilities that exist with that particular type of color. So we would have to again examine the situation and take the menstrual cycle may be an issue here. Many, many facets that we have to correlate and come to some type of arrowhead. But it's good that the two people that Miriam and the other gentleman's name, at least
Claude.
They're becoming aware, Claude, as to
yes.
their tongue. One said that he feels dry. The other one, Miriam, says that the color is this color. You know, it's good that we're looking and observing, because these are very important tools for any physician, and the best physician is you. So both situations, we would need to examine it a little bit more, get some more facts, and then we could put it in some type of parameter.
Yes, absolutely. And we thank both Claude and Miriam for taking time to share their personal stories with us. We are very grateful that we're here for you. That's exactly why the program is here. So thank you for that, and thank you for listening. Those who are listening in the present and those who listen in the future. So we're winding down, but I had a question. Just even looking at the show page of this program, you'll see at least one pierced tongue. So I'm curious, Dr. Jatta, does the piercing of a tongue have any effect on the organ that corresponds to the area where the tongue is pierced?
We have to look at life. We're in the metal season now, or the lung season, and the lung deals with the connectivity of the body. The breath permeates every system in the body. Without the breath, nothing works. So because of the connectivity of things in the body, if something is breached, the signal wouldn't really be as strong. And the pathway that the signal would run in, imagine a river valley, if it's breached by a dam or something like that, some wrong flow of energy is going to take place. So I would leave it at that. The reasonable
okay.
person can think as to what we're saying here. And again, bring the earth as an example. You know, because we are a part of that, and our system is that way. The earth shows us many things. It would cause the signaling to be interrupted.
I'm so glad you answered that question. It looks like something that would throw off the flow of energy through living tissue, but I wasn't sure. You know, intuitively it looks like that, but it's not always the case that something intuitively is indeed the case, you know, what ends up being the case. So we're actually at the top of the hour so quickly. I guess we covered as much as we could within, you know, the time frame about this topic. And as I said, we will be presenting a webinar where we'll be going much greater depth. And the cool thing I really like about the webinar platform is the visual aspect. It's great to use our imaginations, and you can look at the show page and our website, as well as the marketing email, you know, for this program, and get great visuals. The thing I love about the webinar platform is that the visual is concurrent with what we're talking about. So stay tuned to your email inbox, and you'll be hearing more as well. We'll announce it on this program. So, Dr. Jatta, we're at the top of the hour, just about. What is your heartfelt message you want to leave with our listening family this evening?
My grandmother would always tell me to be patient with myself. I would put that out there to all of us. Let's be patient with ourselves, and also consistency is a jewel. If we embark on something, try to be consistent. That's where the value lies.
Thank you for that. My heartfelt message is keep breathing. We are here together on the planet. We are breathing in one pulse, and what we do affects each other. So let's be aware of our connection, and live as if we're all here together. I'm going to exit with Ella again. This one is accentuate the positive. I love her message. So this is Yah Elohim, and I look forward to speaking with you on Wednesday when we will be looking at facial analysis, similar to tongue analysis. So you get a little bit more information about seeing the signs that the body provides without any type of invasive technology or harmful EMF frequencies. Yah Elohim, love you to life. Remember to accentuate the positive.
Yeah.
Gather round me, everybody. Gather round me while I preach some. Feel a sermon coming on me. The topic will be sin, and that's what I'm again. If you wanna hear my story, then settle back and just sit tight while I start reviewing the attitude of doing right. You gotta accentuate the positive. Negative, latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. You better spread joy up to the maximum. Bring gloom down to the minimum. Have faith, the pandemonium, liable to walk upon the scene. To illustrate my last remark, Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark. What did they do? Just when everything looks so dark, man, they said we gotta accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. No, don't mess with Mr. In Between. To illustrate my last remark, Jonah in the wake, Noah in the ark. What did In Between. No!